Can you please describe the main stages of insight meditation? Thank you. Again, without getting into hours and hours, whole treatise, I mean, these kind of things can be found in the suttas, but also it's different traditions describe it in different ways. So we might have like the Vipassana, the Goenka tradition might describe it in one way. Tibetan tradition might describe it in one way. Visuddhimagga, or really, it really comes back to experience. So even though this isn't a question about dependent origination, or paticca-samuppada, I think it is similar to something Lungpo Cha said, that you know, it's like just look at dukkha, just look at suffering, just look at dukkha, keep it simple. It's like when you're falling out of a tree and you're trying to count the branches as you go down, and you can't count, it's just happening too fast. You can't count the branches as you're falling, but when you hit the bottom, you know it hurts. That's what you can know. So, and you look at that, how can I not fall out of that tree again? How can I avoid that suffering in the future? So in terms of the main stages of insight meditation, it's really, we can describe it perhaps in a certain way according to there's these seven stages of insight or whatever. We could explain it in an academic way and list what's in the book or what's translated from Pali or Sanskrit in the books. But look, coming back to our own experience, how's our practice of not picking things up? How's our practice of forgiving? How's our practice of the precepts? What do we do? How do we react when in the meditation, when a difficult mental state or anger or greed or some sort of proliferation that won't calm down? How do we deal with that? So that's insight, is when we see the suffering of that. That's why the Buddha's just really trying to drive the point home all the time of this is suffering, this is the ending of suffering. That's all I teach. All I teach is suffering and the ending of suffering. All I teach is dukkha and the ending of dukkha. So it's when the heart, on a very deep level, really sees this is dukkha, then it can't pick it up because it's like fire. When you see a fire, you're not going to be able to will yourself to put your hand in the fire. Or you might, but you're going to retract it immediately. And when you put your hand in a fire, and your hand is in a fire and it's burning you, you don't need to consult a manual and say, like, what are the stages of getting my hand out of this fire? Like, maybe I need to check and see how to do it. You don't need to do that. Your hand is automatically out of the fire. So the heart is the same, the citta is the same with insight, and with the seeing of dukkha, it can't be in the fire anymore. It'll retract itself because it sees the suffering of it, but because there's still ignorance and delusion, then it doesn't see how it's tormenting itself, so it's still burning away in there. So so in terms of insight, I think that's how I try to think about it in terms of experientially and trying to see the dukkha aspect of these different proliferations and these different mental states that are arising. And again, it's not about stopping the mental state or stopping the proliferation. It's about seeing the dukkha in it. So that's a really vital point, because if we try to just stop it or stamp it out, then we're not seeing the dukkha of it. And actually trying to stop it and stamp it out in itself is also dukkha. So we have to step back and see, where's the dukkha? Where's the dukkha in this? And the desire, how's the tanha operating here?